Good evening and welcome to Scratched Up Radio Theater on listener-supported KKRN Community Radio. Tonight's presentation is The Greatest Game Ever Played, written by Joe Graceffo and directed by John Welsh.
On October 7th, 1916, Cumberland University would achieve everlasting fame in the annals of college football. Hell, football period. Let's just say in the total history of competition. The Bulldogs were soundly defeated on the gridiron by the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, coached by John Heisman. Yes, that John Heisman. Back then, Cumberland University was an acclaimed law college. While achieving modest success in collegiate sports, that success wasn't frequent enough for regents of the college to pay much attention to the teams, or how they were run. During the spring of 1916, an enthusiastic and enterprising senior year student named George Edward Allen stepped into the role of part-time coach of the baseball team. Our story begins with that baseball game.
That was a hell of a drubbing Cumberland laid on Georgia Tech. Where's Coach Allen?
Over there.
Where? Not that chubby kid.
Yep. Get a load of the blonde standing beside him.
Coach Allen, 22-0 over Heisman Yellow Jackets. That's cattywampus. How'd you do it?
How? Because he's a genius. That's how.
What's your name, honey, for the record?
For the record, her name is Suzanne Ellsworth, and she's my girl. Put that down.
I'm his fiancé. Put that down.
What? Oh, honey.
All right, lovebirds. The game, George. How did a bunch of law students beat Georgia Tech?
Yeah, George. How'd you guys do it?
Meanwhile, on the other side of the baseball diamond, Coach Heisman was fuming.
That fat-ass little turd. You! Not me! You go ask that son of a bitch how many of his players are enrolled in classes.
I have to ask him that?
You're a sports writer, aren't you?
Yeah, but I want to get your statement, Coach Heisman.
My statement. My statement. Well, my statement is that pudgy little dirtbag with a blonde on his arm isn't fit to clean a baseball uniform, much less wear one, or manage a team. I can't prove anything yet. Though you run the names of those Bulldogs against the roster of the Nashville Vols.
The semi-pro team up in Nashville?
The very same.
Well, that'd be cheating, Coach.
You dumbass, that's what I'm saying.
George never did admit to employing ringers from a semi-pro team to beat Georgia Tech that day. He just wanted to give his school a bit of prestige. Cumberland University athletics had always been a bit of an up-and-down affair, subject to the whims of its Board of Regents and the vagaries of its president, Homer Hill.
Dr. Hill! Dr. Hill!
What in the world?
Why, you foul interloper. This is the office of the president of Cumberland University, the finest law school in Tennessee. Declare your business, sir, or be gone.
A tad dramatic, don't you think, Edward?
A trifle, perhaps. You there, pudgy youth. Why so out of breath?
I was running, and my name is George. George Allen.
Well, George. Edward, please give George a refreshing libations. Would that be agreeable, George?
Oh, yes, Dr. Hill. Edward, a whiskey sour, please. Tennessee bourbon, simple syrup. Go easy on the lemon juice, sensitive tummy issues. And whip those egg whites, will ya?
Whip those egg whites?
Froth 'em.
Dr. Hill.
George, a bit early, eh? Edward, bring a glass of water for the young man.
Surely.
So, George, what brings you into my office in such consternation?
Here you go, George.
Edward, my files need filing.
Well, okay then.
He came with the job.
You're new here, aren't you?
Yes, indeed.
Well, pleased to meet you. I'm your baseball coach.
Tremendous.
And manager of your football team.
Not so tremendous. We've eliminated Cumberland's football program.
That's why I'm here. I signed a forfeiture agreement with Georgia Tech a year ago. We're obligated to play them or pay them $3,000 if we don't.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. We're a law school. You're a law student. What would compel you to sign a dumb contract like that?
Because Coach Heisman offered $500 plus all travel, lodging, and meal expenses.
A $500 payment versus a $3,000 forfeiture.
Plus expenses.
Why are you gloating? You got hoodwinked by an actual football coach. Write to Heisman. Beg his forgiveness for your overly eager acceptance.
I tried that. He hates me.
We have another problem here, young man. While there's nothing in the school's charter about who may coach most other athletics, it's specifically...
Stop. I know where you're going. As I said before, I manage the football team. I'm not the coach.
Who's the coach?
We don't have one.
We don't have a football coach. And we don't have a football team. And if we don't play Georgia Tech, we have to pay them. Did I happen to mention that our school is nearly broke?
No, sir, you didn't.
Well, we are. Oh, God, what are we going to do?
Cheer up, Dr. Hill. I'll think of something. I got it. I know a guy that would jump at the chance to coach a college football team if I can talk him into it.
Huh. George, that didn't quite make sense.
Don't worry about the logic, Dr. Hill. It's all a bunch of highfalutin hokum anyways.
You don't have a team.
Not yet. Though all I gotta do is pitch an all-expenses-paid trip to the big city of Atlanta to the boys at Kappa Sigma.
Wait. Cumberland University is a Christian school. Just what do you intend to propose to your fraternity brothers?
Fine dining, Dr. Hill. Fine dining.
No hanky-panky.
No, sir. Not me. Not ever.
And with that, George Edward Allen, future advisor of the most powerful men in the military, government, and business, was given dubious approval to reconstitute Cumberland's disbanded football program, employing his all-powerful charm to hire a coach and recruit a team. Unfortunately, he succeeded at both.
Are you Albert Poindexter?
You found him, son. Albert Poindexter, head man here at Salvation Army, local chapter, Lebanon, Tennessee.
I'm George Allen, senior year of law at Cumberland U. And well, sir, I'm in an awful pickle.
Oh, dear. Is she with you?
Oh, no, sir, nothing like that. It's our football program. We've lost our coach, and we've got a big game coming up against Georgia Tech.
Ah, well, what are you asking me to do, George?
Not asking so much as begging. We need a coach, sir, and frankly, you check all the boxes.
I don't know a thing about football.
That's perfect. Look, coach, may I call you coach? I saw you out there leading the kids in calisthenics, and you were magnificent. The way they did those...
Jumping jacks?
A thing of beauty. A thing of gosh darn beauty, coach.
Please, young man. You're within the hallowed confines of a Christian organization.
So you'll do it. Eh, coach?
Oh.
Please, sir, you really won't have to do a thing. I'm the team's manager, and I know plenty about football. A student can't serve as coach. We just need someone to play the role.
Well, George, you got yourself a deal. I'll whip him into shape. Come game day, you'll be our field general.
Look at you, Mr. Poindexter. You're sounding like a coach already. Wow, Mr. Poindexter, they're really working up a sweat.
I'm gonna kill you, George.
Jocular youth. Say, coach, how long have they been at it?
Coming up on 2 hours.
2 hours? Looky here, coach. You can't have him doing jumping jacks for 2 hours. What about other calisthenics?
Honestly, George, jumping jacks is all I know.
Oh, Suzanne, I don't know what to do.
Oh, George, I've never seen you like this.
I've never felt like this.
Like you've been kicked in the teeth, punched in the gut, down on your luck, not a soul to turn to, a worthless, good-for-nothing nobody.
Why, sweetheart, you're here for me, right?
I fell in love with you, George, despite your pudgy appearance, because I thought you were the Apollo of college sports that you said you were. Is that not true, George?
Yeah, of course, of course.
I mean, you Cumberland boys beat Georgia Tech 22-0 on the baseball diamond.
Uh-huh.
And you're gonna give it to him again on the gridiron, right?
Oh, you betcha.
George, I asked my father to take me to Atlanta. I'm going to be sitting in the stands at Grand Field, rooting for good old Cumberland. You still want me there, don't you?
Well, of course, of course.
That's the spirit, George. That's the man I'm going to marry. Oh, George, you're crying.
I'm just so happy.
George, ringers again. We're gonna get caught.
Leon, no. We're not going to get caught. We're smarter than them. We're lawyers.
No, no, George. We're law students. We're supposed to be above reproach, and what you're suggesting is just plain cheating. Again.
Have you seen our team out there? I'm not saying we're bad and we might just pull this off.
A few more patty cake drills and we'll be in tip-top shape.
You're making my case for me, counselor.
I think I know where to find our ringers.
Oh, Leon, everyone here looks very busy building a very large building.
Not everyone.
I thought we were going to recruit ersatz football players. These brutes can't possibly have any familiarity with the chess-like visualization that makes football such a cerebral game.
No, but I'll bet any one of them could lift the entire Georgia Tech line and drive its collective ass into the turf.
I see your point.
Yoo-hoo, construction fellows!
What are you doing?
They're preoccupied.
They're not preoccupied. They're occupied. They're working.
Fine. I'll get their attention.
Construction fellows! Construction fellows!
Stop that!
Yoo-hoo! I want you! Gather around!
Please, cease and desist!
How rude. That beefy young fellow just threw a brick at us. It would appear these muscle-bound plebeians have no interest in my supplications.
You should have let me handle the negotiations.
What'll we do now, George?
Run, Leon. Run!
Funnily enough, George would utter the same advice 28 years later when his friend Harry Truman was rumored to be under FDR's consideration for the 1944 Democratic ticket. Run, Harry! Run! Such are the ever-repeating cycles of history.
Great jumping, Jesus. Leon, we could have been killed.
Maybe. Though, given more time, I do think I may have gotten through to them.
Do yourself a favor, go into tax law, and stay away from any discipline that involves talking to other people.
My father wants me to be a labor mediator.
No! God, no! You'll be killed!
So, it looks like we're stuck with the team we have.
Yep. That's okay. We'll be fine. We'll be fine.
I'm a bit concerned that Coach Poindexter hasn't run an actual scrimmage with the team as yet.
We have the playbook, and Poindexter has run them through rigorous exercises.
You'll get no argument from me on that account.
We'll be fine. I need you to secure the uniforms and pack them safely in a trunk. We board the overnight to Atlanta tomorrow.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to the station to buy our tickets. Buck up, Leon. This is going to be fun. The brothers are going to love an all-expenses-paid-overnight on a luxury Pullman. Suzanne, darling, I'm over here.
Georgie, there you are, silly Billy.
You're still coming down, aren't you?
I wouldn't miss it. You are my hero, you know. I just came to wish you bon voyage and to give you these.
Flowers? Oh, Susie, they couldn't be more spectacular.
They could, though these were all I could afford.
Suze, I better go. See you and your father at halftime.
It's Suzanne, dear. Not Suze. And definitely not Susie.
Oh, of course.
Remember, you're my hero.
Kisses. Suzanne, kisses.
George, I just gave you flowers.
I won't see you for 2 days.
Okay. Well, kisses.
That's my gal. Leon, dear God, what's happening?
The brothers got a bit carried away at the buffet.
And so it was that the young men of Kappa Sigma prepared for the big game to come by consuming every morsel and draining every drop from the bar car until they blissfully fell asleep on whatever flat surface would accommodate them. Meanwhile, Coach Heisman was reproaching his players with strict discipline, as was his custom.
All right, men. Gather around and listen. Tomorrow is an important game for each of you. For me. For our team. And for Georgia Tech. Your preparation does not end tonight. No drinking alcohol. No tobacco. No rich desserts or spicy food. And you will all be in bed by 10:30. So, it stands to reason that none of you will be having sex. No sex.
Coach, can we have sex if we're done by 10:30?
No! You're all a well-oiled machine, and I don't want any of you leaking oil tonight.
All right, brothers, gather around. The coach has a few words of inspiration. I'm assuming that's due to your overindulgence at the buffet.
Fellas, we don't have much of a chance. So let's just suck it up and do the best we can.
Brothers, what Coach Poindexter means is, let's muster some sort of defensive effort. I'll just bet you we can hold them to a 0-0 tie. What do you say? You boys do that, and I'll consider that a victory. Let's go get them. And whoever took my flowers, I want them back.
Georgie! Georgie! Over here!
Suzanne!
I told you I'd be here. What a crowd. How exciting.
Yes, well...
Make me proud today, Georgie.
Darling, I have to go. See you afterwards?
Yes, my darling. I'll be here to embrace your victory.
And so the game commenced.
Cumberland has won the coin toss and will receive the opening kickoff.
Beth? Mr. Referee?
What?
That Georgia Tech lad was a bit aggressive, don't you think?
This is football, Coach, not tiddlywinks.
It's okay, Coach. Just the opening kickoff. We're going to be fine.
That sort of optimism heralded good fortune for Mr. Allen's post-collegiate life. As regards this moment in time, no amount of optimism could have changed the outcome.
End of the first quarter.
Well, it's not going well, is it, George?
We are a bit behind.
We don't have any points.
And they have 63. Though we have 3 quarters left to catch up.
Halftime!
Oh, dear God! 126 to nothing!
Don't cry, Coach. The guys are coming off the field. Gotta be brave. For the brothers.
I don't know what to say to them.
Don't say a thing. I need a couple of minutes to see my gal. Words of inspiration. Gotta find words of inspiration. Suzanne, darling, where are you going?
You embarrassed me in front of all these people.
But love of my life, it's only the first half.
I hate you. I wish I'd never set eyes on you. You little runt.
Hey, George, we lost 3 guys.
Dead?
No, desertion.
My God.
We could use your gal's words of encouragement right about now.
No, Coach. She said nothing I care to pass on to the fellows.
Second half, George. There's still hope?
No, there isn't. Though I have an idea that may save us further embarrassment.
With that, George sped across the field and barged into the home team's locker room.
Coach Heisman, I just need a couple of minutes. Alone, please?
All right. In my office. Don't just stand around staring at each other. Stretch! What is it?
We forfeit.
Nope.
Coach, we don't stand a chance out there. The only time we stopped you from scoring was on a field goal attempt when our man managed to block it. With his face.
Unfortunate.
He came to when we managed to reposition his nose. Respectfully, the fact that we've basically given up on trying to score and simply punt on first down to force you to play the full length of the field ought to tell you.
You have no business being out there with us.
So why force us to endure more pain?
Listen, George. Aside from the fact that I'm 99% sure that you used ringers to embarrass my baseball team, this really isn't about you. I've always been on the up and up. Never gamed the system like you, you little turd. The Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Association has got my hands tied. A fair competitive schedule means nothing toward awarding their conference champion. It's all about total points.
Oh, God, I'm going to be sick.
Cumberland has to go down, and go down hard. That's the way it's got to be.
Can't we lop off time somehow? Cut out the fourth quarter?
No, that would look ridiculous. Tell you what, I'm willing to shave 3 minutes off each of the remaining quarters. That way, it'll at least resemble a football game.
And you'll ease up on us.
No. No, George. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got to get back to my guys.
Well, George, what did he say?
He gave me some cock and bull story about points. Screw him, he hates us.
And so the second half began. As in the first half, Georgia Tech was content just to run the football. They didn't attempt a forward pass all game. Having given up all hope of scoring during the first half, Cumberland rested on their strategy of lengthening the field by punting the ball back to Tech on first down, the only exceptions being when they fumbled balls on kickoffs, only to see them returned for touchdowns. George occasionally found words for his team. Not the right words, though words nonetheless.
Men, I admire your courage. You have stayed in the fight even though we're getting our asses handed to us.
More desertions followed. One man, left tackle Dal Cope, a music student in addition to his law studies, even tried to join the Georgia Tech team. He was admonished and escorted to the proper sideline by one of Heisman's assistants. After the Yellow Jackets scored 54 points in the third quarter and a relatively modest 42 in the fourth, the game came to a merciful end. The final score was Georgia Tech, 222. Cumberland, 0.
Well, Coach, we got beat every way possible.
Grant LaGrasse, Nashville, Tennessee. Tell him to let us in, Georgie. We need a statement from the coach for the hometown fans.
You can talk to me.
No, Georgie. Coach Poindexter, how do you explain what happened out there today?
Come on, Grantland. Ease up.
Coach, gotta give me something colorful for my readers.
Well, young man, it may not be colorful, though. It's the truth. We couldn't run. We couldn't pass. We couldn't stop them from running. And they didn't bother passing. Other than that, we're just not a very good football team.
You agree with that assessment, Georgie?
Up yours.
What did you say?
Nothing. I'm sorry.
Grantland, you boob. Apparently the South has risen and they took it out on us.
Good. I like it. I can work with that.
222-0. John Heisman did what he set out to do. The Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets were named the number one team in the South by the SIAA in 1916, and repeated that honor for the next 2 years. Heisman would continue to coach football for 10 more years, though would never again ascend those heights. He would achieve his greatest distinction when the college football trophy given out by the Downtown Athletic Club in Manhattan became euphemistically known as the Heisman Trophy. Grantland Rice would go on to establish a peerless reputation over 50 years as a sports writer, covering football, baseball, and golf. An alumnus of Vanderbilt University, his alma mater established a 4-year scholarship in his name awarded each year to an incoming freshman who intends to pursue a career in sports writing. As for our hero, after graduation, George Edward Allen practiced law in his home state of Mississippi. He eventually drifted into politics, where his generally sunny nature made him an affable counterpart to men burdened by the weight of world affairs. Serving FDR, Truman, and Eisenhower, George's business and mediation skills came together as director of the Reconstruction Finance Corporation, instrumental in rebuilding the country following the Great Depression. The August 12, 1946 cover of Time magazine bears his photo. Sadly, nothing he did later in life restored the affections of the beautiful Suzanne Ellsworth.
Well, George, what a game! What a game!
Yeah. Guess you can say that. Think you want to continue coaching football?
You're a laugh riot, George! You'll go far, kid.
You have been listening to The Greatest Game Ever Played by Joe Graceffo and directed by John Welsh. Our cast included Michael Ossa as the narrator, Don Tamblyn as John Heisman, Dustin Davis as George Allen, Chloe Freeland as Suzanne, Randy Compton as a reporter, Don Singrani as Albert Poindexter, Micah Duclos as Leon, Edward, and player number two, Bob Christensen as Myron and Dr. Hill, Jim Dowling as the referee and reporter number one, Ian Dalziel as Grantland Rice and reporter number two. Our technical director, as always, is Lily Dubois. KKRN Community Radio is an all-volunteer station entirely dependent on donations and underwriting. We want to thank all of you who helped us through the COVID-19 pandemic with your generous donations, while we have been unable to hold our usual community fundraising events. For any listeners who would like to donate now to help keep our distinctive programming, like Scratched Up Radio Theater, stay on the air, go to kkrn.org and click on the donate button, or send a check to KKRN P.O. Box 188, Montgomery Creek, California, 96065. Thank you. I'm your host, Dickie Magadoff. Good night, and thanks for listening to Scratched Up Radio Theater.
Hello, this is Jim Dowling, the host of Right Stuff, a new show on KKRN Community Radio. Right Stuff is all about writers and their work. Each show, I'll bring a different writer into the studio. We'll have a nice little chat, and you will get a chance to hear something they've written. I hope you'll join me, Jim Dowling, on Write Stuff the fourth Thursday of every month at 8 p.m. on KKRN Community Radio. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Linda Reagan, and I hope you will join me Thursday night, August 19th at 8 p.m. right here, when I will be joined by Daryl and Rhonda Alvey of Riverfront Theater as we discover the plans for this perennial favorite community theater as they open their first season in their new theater at 1950 California Street.